Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey Eagles fans, this is Chris Franklin from NJ Advance Media, and welcome to the No Huddle Show podcast, where we discuss anything and everything Philadelphia Eagles. You can read our content on nj.com/eagles and make sure to bookmark that. And you can also subscribe to our exclusive Eagles Insider text service, where we'll break news, give you insider observations, and provide in-depth analysis. Through Eagles Extra, you can send questions and comments directly to us, and we'll respond to your phone. With me today, as always, is our No Huddle Show co-host, Les Bowen. Today, we'll discuss the latest member of the front office to leave the Eagles, the addition of James Bradberry to the secondary, and the defense as a whole. But first, Les, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Chris. How are you?
I'm not bad at all, man. It's a beautiful, again, closer to, we're recording this on Thursday. It's right almost Memorial Day, you know, get the grill fired up, a couple beers, you know, it's the normal good stuff, man. You have any good plans set up for Memorial Day weekend?
Nothing really outstanding. Us and the dog, pretty much, here in South Jersey.
That's cool. It should be a good time, though. It should be a good time to relax and go from there. But it's been a busy couple weeks, man. A lot of scenes had to happen within this last couple times. You know, I was on vacation and it was good to relax. But it's been a lot going on. I mean, and it's been all up through always up to beginning on Wednesday, I believe it was, late Tuesday night, when the news broke. NFL reporter Aditi Kikawabla reported that Andy Weidel, of all people, was the latest person to leave from the Eagles front office, and now he's on his way back to his hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and he's going to join the Steelers organization. You know, Weidel's been here since 2016. You know, he worked his way all the way up to become the assistant director of player personnel, up through the vice president of player personnel right now for the Eagles. Les, I mean, what does this loss of Andy Weidel mean for the team itself?
It's a pretty significant movement, Chris. I wasn't shocked because they got rid of Andy's brother, Casey, who was an executive in the personnel department. They kind of just fired him with a year left on his deal. And then they didn't renew the contract of Tom Donahoe, the former Steelers and Bills general manager, who was kind of Andy's mentor. Those two developments together sort of portended ill for Andy's continued tenure here. Little surprised, as I have been in some of these other moves over the personnel moves over the offseason, personnel people leaving the Eagles, that once again you have someone leaving who's not leaving to be a general manager. He's going to be an assistant general manager in Pittsburgh, which is kind of what he was here. It was a different title, but that was essentially his duty. And it's I don't know what to make of it. I'm concerned. I think the Eagles definitely have a plan. They saw all of this coming, and they're going to make a series of hires of new people who will assist Howie Roseman. But the people who left, especially Andy, had clout within the organization built up over years of shared battles and decisions and things like that. And these people coming in new, they're not going to, it's like bringing in a guy to be a leader in the locker room, you know, a player. It doesn't happen right away. And in the short term, it's going to be Howie And Alec Hallaby, the analytics guy who's risen quickly through the organization, and all these new people kind of on rungs far below these two, I think. And I'm very interested to see how that all shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of institutional knowledge that has left within over these past few months now. I mean, I liked Andy Weidel, the fact that he came from the Ozzie Newsome tree. When you look at all those guys mm-hmm. who came there, guys like Joe Douglas, and Ozzie Newsome was one of the best talent evaluators that's been through the game in a long time. And you look at the tree he's branched out, and you're losing a guy from that. You lost Ian Cunningham, who's also became the assistant general manager for the Browns. And you lost Brandon Brown. You lost Catherine Race. There's so many people that they've lost. And you're right. It's a continuity thing. And then, you know, the draft, preparing for the draft, you know, that doesn't – people think, okay, well, it starts the season. You prefer it. No, these guys have to go out there. They have to get to know what these guys are doing in spring games and everything mm-hmm. else. And they lost a lot of those guys. And so now you got to make sure you get – right with the coaching staff, you got to learn what they need, and that kind of sets them back in a ways. Now, one thing that a couple of moves the Eagles have made to try to backfill some of those departures, they've apparently, according to Kinkabwala, mm-hmm. the Eagles also look like they're going to be promoting Vice President of Football Operations John Ferrari to one of the assistant general manager jobs. And to me, from my opinion, when it looks like he's basically going to be replacing Catherine Raich. It also looks like Brandon Hunt, who came from this, who is the pro scouting coordinator from the Steelers, looks like he's going to be making his way over to Philadelphia, and he could potentially be one of those assistant general managers.
Yeah, you might be trading Andy Weidel for Brandon Hunt. I'm not really sure, you know, if there are draft picks involved or what, but, you know, it's it's very odd. And I'm not sure what the real impetus of this is. I think one thing we need to address here is, as great an offseason as Howie Roseman has had this year, he's been here a very long time. And one thing I've noticed is people don't work for Howie or with Howie for very long. There's a definite shelf life to working with him. He's a demanding person. He's very anxious, nervous, hyper. I think he's kind of a high maintenance guy to have as your boss. And I wonder to what extent this factors in, particularly as we noted, when people are leaving for jobs that don't seem all that great, you know, or greater than what they had here, you're wondering how much Howie fatigue kind of plays into this.
And when you say that, do you feel like, and it's almost like as a player, do you feel like there has to be adjustments made? I mean, is this one you get what you get when you get Howie Roseman? Do you feel like he will eventually adjust that way, like seeing all these people leave? Or do you feel like he's going to be the same? Is there any fixing that?
I wish I knew. I know people who say that he is better than he was 5-6 years ago when Chip Kelly actually got him, you know, removed from personnel because he couldn't, you know, handle being around Howie. I don't know. I don't work with the man on an everyday basis. I don't really talk to a lot of the people around him on an everyday basis. It's very hard to say from the outside. He is getting older now. He's not a young, you know, guy trying to impress everybody with his knowledge of football. He's not trying to prove himself. He's won a Super Bowl. I would hope things are getting a little easier in terms of working with Howie, but this offseason kind of it really gives you pause, you know, about what the people inside the organization are thinking and you know, why this has happened. I know they said last year that they were, I think Lurie said that they were kind of a general manager factory, that they had all these potential GMs in the building. And that kind of presaged what has happened this offseason, except, again, none of them left to be general managers.
It's great. It's remarkable to see all these changes there. I mean, I don't know where they can go from. I know you can continue to still try to fill the pipeline looking for people. And we know they, if they're not done because they still have other spots to fill. But after a while, the well runs dry. You got to look to continue to cultivate and not only just try to cultivate, but keep some of these guys, because we all know stuff pops up out of nowhere. You never know who needs to step in and become like that. I know they got the assistant general managers, but you never know who's going to continue to fill. And after a while, you know, it's tough to find bright minds to fill that. So you think they'd try to work on some form of retention and to try to do that. I know it's tough because there's only so many jobs that open up, but it's a rough thing.
Now, well, one thing, Chris, that I think is a factor here, the way the organization has been set up, Andy Weidel was directly below Howie, and everybody else in all these other jobs, Catherine Raish, Ian Cunningham, everybody else was below Andy. And in the arcane rules of the NFL in deciding whether someone can leave for a job in another organization, if they were going to be on the organizational chart above the player personnel director, then they could leave. And that was the case, apparently, in all these departures, except for Andy's, who was the personnel director. So I wonder if they're going to set it up differently moving forward. I wonder if that will still be the case, that they'll have all these people underneath the player personnel director. Maybe they want to make it a little harder for them to take off, which is what happens with coaches when you give them titles like assistant head coach and things like that. What you're really doing is insulating yourself against them making a lateral move somewhere else. You know, that's the only thing I can really add to, you know, what they're doing here structurally.
Now, I'll play a hypothetical with you. Roger Goodell's fired. You know, you're now the commissioner of this league. Do you want to bring up a program where, you know, you see all these people come from the Eagles? Do you think there should be some form of compensation if teams lose? We know they have the deal with the third round picks. If you elevate somebody, if you take a candidate from another team and they become a general manager elsewhere or a head coach elsewhere, we know you get a third round pick, that the team that loses them gets a third round compensatory pick. Do you start handing out, like, say, fifth, sixth, seventh round picks to teams that lose people that become assistant general managers? Would you be okay with something like that?
I'd be okay with it. I don't know that it would really help much, you know, given the hit rate on those picks. If you're losing someone who's really integral to your operation, it's, you know, the fifth or sixth round pick isn't going to really help you a whole lot. But there is a thing here that probably should be acknowledged, is with a player or with a member of management or with a coach, keeping somebody who wants to leave is a double-edged sword. You know, you want people who want to be in your organization. And if somebody wants to leave your organization, there's a reason for that. That's kind of the end that you need to work on, I guess, is to make these jobs attractive enough that, you know, unless you're getting a Howie Roseman job, you're going to stay working for Howie Roseman, I guess, would be the simplest way to put it. And clearly so far they have not done that.
I hear you. I think I'm with you. So when you're trying to keep somebody and you don't want to continue to, you know, see people go, I'm completely with you with it. I think there should be some form of program. I mean, does, granted, seventh, like you said, the hit rate's not big, but the fact that, you know, if teams like, say, the Buccaneers, the Ravens, the Bills, teams that consistently have their front offices rated because they do a good job, I mean, should be rewarded. I mean, when you look at some of those teams that have issues consistently year after year in the draft, consistent year after year with personnel matters, and they continue to try to raid some of these other teams, I mean, I don't know. Maybe something comes up. I don't know. Maybe the owners should talk about it. Who knows? But
I think they should.
You know, enough about the front. I think it should. Yeah. But you know, enough of the front office talk. You know, let's go start to focus more on the field now. You know, while we were away, you know, the Eagles made a big signing at the cornerback position, you know, adding James Bradbury from the Giants. You know, he signed a 1 year, $10 million deal to sign here, a 7.25 of which is guaranteed. You know, we had a chance to talk to him on Tuesday. And, you know, he mentioned like something, he's mentioned, talked about playing man in zone, but, you know, we all know he's does really well in zone coverage. Les, what do you think this addition of Bradbury means to the Eagles defense?
Yeah, this was really needed, in my view. We have talked previously, and I've written about how they were trying to sell us on this idea that they were going to start somebody opposite Darius Slay, like Tay Gowan or Zach McPherson. And that would have been a tremendous leap of faith in guys that don't have much of a resume. In Bradbury, you have someone who definitely does have a resume in Carolina and with the Giants. He's not old by any means, but he's experienced. As you said, he's very good in zone, which is something Jonathan Gannon likes to play. I thought his press conference was very impressive. He's obviously a really smart, solid kind of guy that's very interested in he didn't just come here for money. I mean, he didn't get that much money. You know, he's here to help make the team better and to set a platform for himself for next year. And those are good motivations. You know, I don't have a problem with a guy coming here on a 1 year deal to try to show what he can do, because those guys, you know, they have a lot of incentive. I think he fits what they do. I think he fits in with, you know, Slay was trying to get him here before they signed him. I don't see any downside to this whatsoever. The only downside I see really is that fans are starting to get ahead of themselves, as fans sometimes do, and some media as well, and start talking about the Super Bowl and, you know, things like that that are still a long way off.
Wait, the you haven't started playing the parade yet? You haven't planned to play parade route again?
No, you know, it's...
You're not taking the school bus down to the art museum steps, man?
If you start... The problem with all this is, if you set this as the expectation, then the season is a disappointment if you don't make the Super Bowl. And I think the Eagles have a lot of boxes to check this year. If you look at where they were last season, they were 9-8 against a pretty easy schedule. They eked into the playoffs and then got destroyed in a wild card game. They really didn't beat a good quarterback last year. Yes, they're better. Are they that much better? I mean, there's so much that has to be proven yet. And the biggest thing, of course, that everyone knows this, the biggest thing that has to be proven is Jalen Hurts a quarterback that can take you to the Super Bowl? And I just, you know, I want to see some results before I start talking about long range, you know, triumphs and things like that.
Okay, I get you. And I know you. I'll get back to Bradbury in a second, but I'm curious. We went down this road. I kind of like talking about this. I'm just curious as well too. What I know you say it's a long road. You want to see what Hurts is. If you had to put a level on it, what do you think would be a successful season for the Eagles this year when it comes to defensively over as a team overall? Do you think just winning a playoff game is worth it? Do you think they have to get the NFC Championship game? What do you think is a successful season?
I think winning a playoff game is a pretty good darn big deal. That hasn't happened here since 2018. Or the 2018 season, early 2019, that would be a very good start. A lot depends on how that all goes. You know, are they 13-4 and they won one playoff game and then fell flat on their face? That would be a disappointment, probably. If they're 10-7 and they have some injuries and Hurts plays pretty well and they lose to the eventual Super Bowl champions, you know, by a point, you know, that's a different look. You know, it's hard to set parameters on what's a good season right now. I think certainly you're looking to be better than 9-8. You're looking to be back in the playoffs and, you know, you're looking for a quarterback who's a Pro Bowl candidate. And, those are the key ingredients to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think when you look at this way, the offense, just at least personnel wise, you know, we haven't seen him chemistry wise on the field or jail or anything, or how Sirianni used him. But I think personnel wise, I think they have potentially a top 10 offense when you look at the pieces that they have, and all that is contingent on Hurts. I think he will be better than he was last year. Am I saying he's going to be a top 5 quarterback? I don't think he will. I think he'll put up, I don't know, maybe 4,600 combined yards with like 4,000. I think he'll throw the ball a little bit more than what they did last year, but I don't think he'll run as much because I think he doesn't have to now that he has all those weapons. I think when you look at the defense, when it goes back to the addition of Bradberry now, they're going to have a chance to base. I think they're going to basically give that pass rush a little bit better time, more time to get to the quarterback, because we saw so many times last year when it comes to the quarterback, okay, just had to go 3-step drop, get the ball out quickly, and that pass rusher can get home. And he didn't have the personnel on the field that would be able to slow him up a little bit, whether it be bump and run coverage, whether it be the type of zone disguising, what have you, scheme, schematic, whatever. This defense wasn't able to stop a lot of the better quarterbacks. So I think they have personnel now that will make it better. Personally, I think 11 wins will be with the schedule they have. I think 11 wins should be like the bar. Period. Mm-hmm. Anything else? I don't think they're going 13, 14, 15. That's pie in the sky hopes. I think it's more 11, more realistic. And a win in the playoffs, especially being that they probably wouldn't host a – if you get 11 wins, I think they win the East and they host a home game. So I think that's where it's at. And yeah. I think Bradberry goes a long way of taking them there. I think if you look at the way he plays his zone defense, the way he baits – quarterbacks into throwing his way and then using his speed to close down on the area on the wide receiver and then break up pass. I think that's a huge thing that was missing from this defense. Like Nelson, I think, did a decent job, but I think Bradberry does an even better job with what the Eagles are trying to do. So I think,
yeah,
overall it's not bad, but we're talking defense. I mean, you have Bradberry now, you've got Jordan Davis, N'Kobe Dean, Hassan Reddick to go along with the guys you currently had already on this roster.
Yep.
Do you feel there's more pressure on Jonathan Gannon now to produce now?
I was just going to say, let's talk about Jonathan Gannon a little bit. We talked to him the other day. certainly there is. But I think he's very prepared for that. One of the real interesting subplots of 2021 to me was fans hated Jonathan Gannon, mostly because of that stretch after the first few games of the season, well into the middle of the season. They had 5 games where they were giving up an average of 32 point something points per game. And their defense was just flaccid. I mean, it was any good quarterback could just pick it apart, set a career high for completion percentage, push them up and down the field in the running game. They couldn't stop anything. That got better as the season went on. They also faced fewer really good quarterbacks as the season went on. But around the league, people like Jonathan Gannon. He interviewed for head coaching jobs this offseason. Fans here were amazed. It's kind of a little bit like the Sixers fans and Doc Rivers, who the Sixers fans want the Lakers to hire Doc, desperately want the Lakers to hire Doc Rivers. But you know, I think Gannon's a smart guy. I don't know if that makes him a good defensive coordinator. I've covered a lot of smart guys who weren't particularly effective in their jobs. But, you know, he has the tools now. And he wouldn't really say this when I asked him the question the other day. But I think he has the tools to do whatever it is he wants to do. And I don't think he felt like he had those tools last season. He didn't want to badmouth anybody or make excuses, but I think he was trying to do some things last year that it just weren't practical given the ammunition that he had. I think this year, whatever he wants to do, and you're more of an X and O guy than I am, you can probably elucidate this better for our listeners, but whatever it is he wants to do, he ought to be able to do it now.
Well, I think he will be able to. I think a lot of times he wanted to – when you look at Jonathan Gannon, he doesn't want to give up the big play. When you just look at the way the defense is set up, you look at the way to how many times they played like cover 3, the cover 2. He just doesn't want to get a big play. He's rather almost like make a defense go methodically down the field. And I think now I thought it was very telling when the Eagles got Jordan Davis. I think that shifted the whole mindset of that one move itself, I think, shifted the whole mindset of what the Eagles can do now. Because We've seen Jonathan Gannon like to use the four three unders, the 3-4s, and all that, all those other different multiple looks now. And the fact that you could add Jordan Davis to do that, you truly have like a true nose guard now. I'm not calling, before anybody thinks that, I'm not calling him like a Ted Washington or Haloti Ngata or anybody like that, but he could be that similar role in the fact that his pressure, him taking on just two guys alone in the middle of that defense, if he shades over just a little bit to the center shoulder and then forcing, almost nearly having to force that guard to go like do a combo block with the center, because there's not that many centers that'll be able to take him on one-on-one with his size and his quickness, I think that opens up so much stuff for the other defensive linemen. Now you don't have to worry about rushing blitzing like 5-6 guys. You can drop all those extra guys in the coverage, especially in that intermediate route. I think that's going to help this team a lot, because another thing that the team had issues with were tight ends and basically the intermediate passing game. The Eagles gave up the most receiving yards and the most receiving touchdowns to tight ends last year. And the fact you don't have to dedicate linebackers, a lot of linebackers to the rush or do those exotic blitzes now, you can just concentrate on stopping those pass coverage, and it makes it frustrating for a quarterback to try to find those seams. So I think overall, he has what he needs to do it. Now, the implementation, that's going to be key, and I want to see how well he does early on, especially those better quarterbacks. You know, he's got Jared Goff on his schedule again. He's got Carson Wentz on his schedule. He doesn't have that, given that they finished second in the East last year, he doesn't have that many top tier quarterbacks when he has to face Aaron Rodgers, which that might be a nightmare in itself for the Eagles to look at that. But you look overall, there's almost no excuse. And I've said this before and I'll say it again, I think this is his last year here in Philadelphia.
Whether one way or the other. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's going to get a job, or they're going to move on given that as many investments that they had. So it's crazy.
Yeah, they have certainly set the table. I mean, it's, and I give Howie Roseman a lot of credit here. One of my big issues with this team over the last few years has been they haven't allocated draft resources to the defense. They've been patching and filling, bringing in free agents to fill key roles, with the result that if you looked at their defense a couple years ago, you saw, you know, Fletcher Cox and Darius Slay, both of whom were aging, and you didn't see much else that you could ever project into any kind of like Pro Bowl or anything like that. You didn't see they had some drafts that just didn't, you know, the Derek Barnett pick obviously hasn't been quite what they envisioned. They just didn't have those mid-20s guys on defense who were, you know, upcoming stars. I think they've turned that around a pretty good bit with these last few drafts and with some of the other moves they've made. I think they have the defense looks a lot different in terms of its age and its upside, I think, than it did a few years back.
It definitely does. It definitely does. Now, Les, you have any final thoughts before we end this latest episode of the No Huddle Show?
Well, you know, I was really interested to talk to Josh Sweat the other day. That's a guy that he's a little bit reticent around the media. And with COVID and everything, we haven't been able to really get in the locker room with him the last few years. His development has been a huge story. And this dovetails into what we were just talking about. You know, he did get into the Pro Bowl through the back door last year as an injury replacement with 7.5 sacks. He isn't a superstar. I don't even know if he's a star yet, but he's a guy that suffered a horrendous knee injury in high school that darn near ended his career, spent his whole college career kind of coming back from that, was drafted in the 4th round, even though in high school he had been one of the top 2 or 3 defensive players in the country. His knee is held together. It's not being constantly drained or anything like that, as far as we know. He's had some other problems, and he detailed that when he was talking to us. He had a bizarre situation that kept him out of the playoff loss to Tampa last January. But he's a guy that, if you look at the contract they gave him last September, the Eagles clearly anticipate him being a double-digit sack guy and kind of becoming the new Brandon Graham, you know, becoming that leader of the edge rushers and the guy you can really depend on out there. And I'm fascinated to see that. I think that he's a little bit under the radar still with fans and media, and I think this could be a very big year for him.
Well said, well said. I mean, for me, I think it's the other guy we also talked to. I think a little bit Boston Scott. And, you know, quietly, he's amassed into have a decent career in this league. You know, he's – I know everybody thinks of him as, like, the guy who plays well against the Giants, but I think he does a lot when we don't see, especially in that running back room. I mean, he's well revered by the fans.
Good point. Revered
by his former playoffs. And we haven't seen the Boston Scott security agency yet, but, you know, little things like that, you know, he just seems like he re-signed that one-year contract, and he was very open and honest with us on Tuesday about talking about, you know, he likes he's a little frustrated sometimes where he doesn't get the consistent carries like say his starter does, but you know he understands his role.
Yeah,
and you need guys like that because
you really do.
You need guys who really does because there's so many times you see, you never know, especially in this offense. You know, Miles Sanders has been hurt here and there, and you need guys to be able to step up and understand what to do and to be able to want to shoulder that burden and compete and be able to do that. And I look at Boston Scott where he's for what he was a 6th round draft pick with the Saints to being cut to joining up with his team and a free agent and working his way building up to now that he's, in my opinion, I think he's the number two running back on the scene. I know people say Kenneth Gainwell's going to step in. I still think Scott is your number two. You look at what he could roll. He's carved himself a nice niche in this league, and I think he's going to be around for a couple of years. And I think I like what he brings to the table. He's doing mentoring now in esports, of all things. Like, check that off as something I didn't see an NFL player doing. But
yeah, I'm going to let you write that story. But I don't really understand it. He spoke about that the other day in a very interesting. You know, he has his whole post football career planned out pretty well, I think. And I know, you know, he's a guy that. I think it's his dad that had the stroke. Was it his dad or his granddad that he was helping take care of? You know, just a real the kind of person you root for. And he has made the most of what he has. There's no doubt about it.
We're going to start. I think we're starting on a new subsegment of a podcast commercial. Better. Who's the better esports player, Jay Ajayi or Boston Scott? You can call in right now. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywho, remember, subscribe to the No Huddle Show podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts, whatever. Make sure to give us a review. We love 5 stars. Let us know how we're doing. Let us know if you want to speak to, also, if you want to speak to Les or myself, make sure to subscribe to Eagles Extra. We'll continue to break news like Tuesday night when we talked about the Andy Weidel stuff. We're able to go ahead and send it out to you guys. We're also doing Q&As as well, too. So feel free to subscribe. So for Les, I'm Chris. Everybody have a good Memorial Day weekend.